Ah, the sounds of the road. Out there in the interstate, it can get hypnotic, especially around dusk. You get a stretch of freshly paved road, nice and smooth. Set the cruise control. Watch the swirl of colors in the sunset. Search the sky for the evening star or a crescent moon. If it's summer, you buzz down the window to catch the scent of the terrain. Might be a pine forest high in the mountains of Arizona, or a cornfield in Oklahoma. I just finished my second cross-country journey since July. 7,221 miles round trip. That's a lot of gasoline, a lot of hotels and motels, a lot of taillights, gators to swerve around, deer carcasses on the shoulders, speed traps, and Wi-Fi passwords. I was astonished and saddened by the decline of America in only 90 days. America has been relentlessly pounded by violence, vandalism, lies, a virus manufactured in China, and irrational panic over that virus, also manufactured by politicians and the media. Incalculable damage has been done to lives through government intervention. Small businesses destroyed, lives and fortunes ruined. This has happened before, though not on quite so grand a scale. In the 1930s, the midsection of America was destroyed by what was called the Dust Bowl. Like some biblical plague, millions of acres of farmland, owned and worked by small-time farmers, were buried in thick, choking dust. Anyone who might remember that era is dead, and few that ever heard of the Dust Bowl realize that it was not created by weather. It was created by the United States government. Everyone is familiar with the term ghost town. Well, there's a terrifying variation on that phrase coming your way. Ghost nation. I'm going to tell you about it.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Decades from the 19th to the early 20th century, the U.S. government gave land to inexperienced farmers. These farmers dug up the natural vegetation that blanketed the plains. It was called buffalo grass, and it was thick and bulletproof. It could survive anything: extended droughts, frosts, floods, fire, stampedes, insects, anything. These farmers replaced the buffalo grass with crops like wheat and corn, plants that are not so tough. And when drought struck and the crops died, it left an ocean of loose, dead dirt. Then the winds that whipped those prairies blew that dust everywhere, not just across the plains, but all the way to the eastern seaboard. There were days when the Statue of Liberty was obscured by dust blown in from the Midwest. From my journey around the country, it looks like we're headed for another Dust Bowl-style disaster. A disaster of economic collapse and despair. But this one will be exponentially more severe. And I'm calling it Ghost Nation. So if you hear or see that term down the road, know that you heard it here first. And Ghost Nation will be the direct doing of scumbag career politicians, greedy doctors, phony scientific experts, lying through their cap teeth, a media that loves to spread panic, and the morons who have bought into the panic and willingly spread it with their every tweet and Instagram post. Of course, the disease, well, that's real and should be taken very seriously. But the panic and fear, that's manufactured. Ghost Nation will not be regionalized like the Dust Bowl. It will blanket all 50 states, even smart states that have tried to stay open. They'll still feel the ripple effect of moron states, states like California, New Mexico, and the entire Northeast. On this trip, I revisited many of the same places I did last summer, and I'm really sorry to report that a lot of the businesses that were barely hanging on in August had folded by November. Forever. Restaurants, hair salons, health clubs, casinos, retailers, saloons, just gone. Want to make a few bucks these days? Manufacture for lease and for sale signs. No one can fully measure the damage done by these unnecessary lockdowns, but the repercussions are astronomical. How can the nation possibly not lapse into full depression? The government has been printing worthless money round the clock, and now, as an estimated, they're not quite sure, $27 trillion debt service. I mean, what's a trillion here or there? How long until the rest of the globe says, hey, America, wipe your ass with your worthless bucks. Pay us in some other currency. Then watch what happens to the economy when hyperinflation sets in. There was a strong taste of that when I was a kid, when inflation, again caused by idiots in government, made us overly dependent on foreign oil and the Fed handing out cheap money, believing it would stimulate jobs. It didn't. And then they raised rates to nearly 20%, and that stopped the economy cold. No one could buy a home or a car. The stooge that replaced Nixon, Gerry Ford, he had a clever fix up his sleeve. He had millions of lapel buttons made that said WIN, which stood for Whip Inflation Now. Wasn't that smart? Almost as smart as Nancy Reagan's Just Say No to Drugs slogan, or Bush's No Child Left Behind nonsense, or all the other bullshit politicians spew to keep their jobs. Bullshit like flatten the curve, which has turned out to mean flatten the people. A spectacular piece of topography sits right along Route 40 at the Arizona-California border. It's a sandstone cliff about 200 feet high with fantastic caves on the face. The cliff actually curves out and over the ground like a wave coming at you. At the base of it are a handful of Indian trading posts. Every bit of signage says Indian trading post, not Native American trading post. They are or were mostly owned by Navajo. On trips to the Grand Canyon or Sedona, we'd always stop there, and the kids would buy souvenirs and marvel at those cliffs. The store owners were friendly, and business was always brisk. Always the same thing, huh? Tourists loading up on gifts and trinkets. We stopped on the trip back to L.A., and were appalled by what we found. They're all closed, save one. Not just closed, abandoned. Smashed windows and graffiti. Where was the stimulus money to keep those small businesses afloat as we flattened the fucking curve? Well, Nancy Pelosi blockaded that. Here's a clip of Nancy spewing career politician rhetoric at Wolf Blitzer and not answering a simple goddamn question.
As you know, there are Americans who are being evicted from their homes. They can't pay the rent. Many Americans are waiting in food lines for the first time in their lives. Can you look them in the eye, Madam Speaker, and explain why you don't want to accept the president's latest stimulus offer?
Well, because, thank you very much, Wolf, and I hope you'll ask the same question of the Republicans about why they don't really want to meet the needs of the American people. But let me say to those people, because all of my colleagues, we represent these people. I have for over 30 years represented my constituents. I know what their needs are. I listen to them, and their needs are not addressed in the president's proposal. So when you say to me, why don't you accept theirs? Why don't they accept ours? Our legislation is there to do three things primarily: to honor our workers, honor our heroes, our healthcare workers, our police and fire first responders, our teachers, our transportation, sanitation, food workers, the people who make our lives work. We couldn't be doing what we're doing without them. Many of them have risked their lives so that they to save lives, and now they will lose their jobs because
Mitch McConnell says that the states go bankrupt. Excuse me for interrupting.
That the states go bankrupt,
Madam Speaker, but they really need the money right now. And even members of your own,
even members of your own caucus,
Madam Speaker, want to accept this deal, $1.8 trillion, Congressman Ro Khanna,
Let me just
quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well. I assume you admire him. He's a Democrat. And he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal. Put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist, and many of your colleagues, apologists for the Republican position.
How about that? Nancy wanted to take care of the heroes first. Cops, firemen, and hospital workers, and teachers. Now, why would they need free money? They're not getting laid off. They're not missing paychecks. Their income is guaranteed, same as Nancy Pelosi's, who, by the way, has an estimated net worth of $120 million. How about an investigation into how she accumulated that kind of wealth on a government salary, Do you wonder about that? I sure do. So I checked, and it seems old Nance was crow's feet deep in an insider training deal with an IPO for Visa. There was even an expose done about it on 60 Minutes, but it all just miraculously blew over. But still, Nancy got sick rich. But she cares about the people she represents. She understands them. Let's do a little back-of-the-envelope arithmetic here. If Nancy's portfolio throws off even, say, 4% yearly, that means she'll pocket about $5 million for doing jack shit. $5 million is more jing than her constituents will ever make in their lifetimes, or multiple lifetimes. But she understands their needs. And let's take a little closer look at the word hero. I've known a lot of teachers in my life, so have you, so has everyone. Were any of them heroes? Some I knew were great teachers, and some were assholes, same as any other occupation. Cops, firemen, hospital workers are workers. If in the course of that work, they risk their life by carrying somebody out of a burning building, now they're a hero. Before that, they're just people doing a job, same as anybody else. The same as cops and hospital workers. Maybe Nancy wants to make especially sure teachers get free money because their unions get her elected again and again and again. So to her, they are heroes. But in truth, there isn't enough stimulus cash to undo the damage that's been done to the most important sector of the American economy, the small businesses, the entrepreneurs, the independents, the mom-and-pop stores, the backbone of America. These bullshit lockdowns haven't just wrecked the economy and millions of lives and futures. The collateral damage is the destruction of freedom and opportunity. America was built by small businesses, not fucking Amazon. Small businesses comprise 44% of the GDP. Businesses that could support a family, buy a home, send a kid or two to college. Can anybody do that, shoving boxes around at an Amazon warehouse, or Costco, or Home Depot, or making lattes at Starbucks? Because that's all the opportunity that's going to be left. That and government jobs. Of course, if you can score a government job like Pelosi's, get some inside info on an IPO, you'll do quite nicely. Even without the stock portfolio, they pay her about $250,000 a year. Do you think any politician is worth that salary? I don't. And the New York Times has just forecast an economic dark winter. Hey, where have we heard that phrase before? But it's going to be followed by a robust recovery in spring. And that prediction is based on nothing. They pulled it out of their asses. And speaking of asses, let's take a detour to Uranus. No, not what you're sitting on. I'm talking about the fabulous roadside attraction located on Route 66 in Missouri. Yeah, enough of reality. Let's get back on the road and see some real America. Uranus sits on several acres in the heart of the Ozarks. The legend goes that the owner previously owned a strip joint there, but was relentlessly hassled by locals, so he demolished the titty bar and built an entire little town and named it Uranus. Kind of a fuck you to blue-nosed locals. Long before you get to Uranus, you see a lot of billboards advertising the Uranus Fudge Factory and urging everyone to come and explore Uranus. Well, of course, we had to stop for a look. It was everything you might imagine, unless a small business empire built on a childish pun. But they deserve applause and a hat tip. Nobody handed it to them. When you stop at Uranus, you can see the world's largest belt buckle. You can view the Uranus Town police car, which displays the slogan, "To serve and protect Uranus." You can stop in the circus sideshow and see oddities. What those are, I can't say. It was temporarily closed when we visited. The gift shop is spectacular, where you can purchase everything from a replica AR-15 cigarette lighter to an endless array of t-shirts bearing double entendres about Uranus. They had a selection of rubber chickens from life size to my size. I watched some dude so overjoyed that he grabbed his cell phone and called a friend to express his delight in the jumbo rubber chicken. As John Mellencamp said, "Ain't that America?" And to be honest, that's the America I love. Kitschy, simple, authentic, open-hearted. There are now two distinct Americas as never before. That fact became more clear with every mile and every town we stopped in. One of those Americas just wants to live life, raise their families, and laugh at the big rubber chickens. Make an honest living, play with their kids, maybe buy a new F-150 every 6 or 7 years. That America just wants to be left alone, to enjoy life, liberty, and pursue happiness. I'll call that classic America. The other America hates classic America with every fiber of their being. They revile guys who laugh at rubber chickens and cornball jokes and have backyard barbecues and go to church and drive F-150s. They are doing all they can to destroy classic America and classic Americans. They think they are smarter, cooler, hipper, and better than classic Americans. I'll call those coastal elite assholes, well, I'm not sure just what yet. I'm going to cogitate on that and let you know next episode. But if you have any suggestions in the interim, send them to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I saw quite a lot in 7,000 miles, and there's a lot more to tell you about the journey. You're probably wondering why I drove cross-country round-trip twice in 4 months. Well, first time was for the hell of it. We just love road trips. This time was to bury a close relative. But none of us wanted to get on a plane. Why? Did anyone think that TSA and gropes and wanding and body scans and take your shoes off and don't stand near the toilets and don't leave your seats, did anybody think all that shit would go away when the hijacking stopped? which was about 20 years ago. Anyone who thought that was as naive as anyone who now thinks masks and social distancing and irrational fear are going away when this scamdemic subsides. So come back and hang with me next Wednesday for part two of the road trip. I'll tell you more about the two Americas, about an act of true heroism I witnessed in a tiny town in West Texas, how Nashville refuses to capitulate to government, how a creepy motel owner in New Mexico should be the poster boy for COVID fear and hypocrisy, how the city of Santa Fe is filled with assholes, how I had the best day of fishing of my life, and how the road just may be my next permanent address. I can't get enough of it. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Gab, Instagram, and YouTube. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. You'll find it. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com, where I will post a fuck ton of images from the road. Yes, lots of Uranus shots included, as well as other selections from classic America. While you're at the show page, why not click that Patreon button and help me keep the tank full? When you do, you become a member of the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates every week. It's an exclusive club. That's right, I said exclusive, not inclusive. No commies or creeps allowed. There you will find the fellowship of other classic Americans, as well as signed books, custom recordings, and a selection of dozens of bonus episodes where we get a little more contentious and personal. Oh, and one more thing. Many of you have requested a new episode of Sinner's Sunday, so I will be posting one this Sunday. What better time than as we approach Christmas, So come back to thatlarryshow.com or wherever you download the show for a helping of spiritual fortification of a type you'll never get from those corporate God providers. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I'll see you this Sunday and Wednesday. And until then, take no shit.